Adventurous Audio. From idea to ear.
When I think of my bestie, I can't imagine not sharing everything with her, not telling her the minutiae of my life, the good stuff and all the bad stuff. And I can't imagine her not sharing in return. If she was in trouble, I'd like to think I'd know about it. That's what besties are for. So I have to say I find it hard to put myself into Charlotte Miller's shoes and how it must have felt when her bestie, Amelia, took her life 2 years ago at the age of just 19. So that's what we're talking about for this Speaking of Suicide, the impact of losing your best mate and how it upends your world. As always, a word of warning, we go into some pretty tricky territory with this series. If you find it too difficult, just press pause and get some support. You'll find details for Mikey's line in the show notes. Charlotte, shall we start by talking about Amelia? Tell me, give me the background. When did you meet? How did you meet?
So we met in school. It would be around 9 years ago now. And I moved middle school. We still have middle, lower and upper schools in our area. So I moved middle schools. And she was already part of like a smaller friendship group. And we met and there became about eight of us pretty soon on. And we're very lucky that we literally stayed in this same group completely as we've grown up. Even now at uni, we're second year, we're third year uni, and genuinely we're still in that group, and it's the luckiest feeling ever. But we met in school and we just became close quite quickly. We were very different, but I feel like it just worked, and I'm very grateful for our friendship.
What was she like? I sometimes think with a gang of girlfriend, you know, it's a bit like the Spice Girls. Everybody gets to play their role. You know, there's the funny one and the this one and the that one. So tell me a bit about you and Amelia and what she was like.
Yeah, we're all very different characters. But as I say, it just works. She was so different to me. She was just... One word that always comes to my head when people ask about her is gentle. And I don't know why. I think it's just that kind nature, like a pure nature that she had. Like so... chill almost, and she was just so gentle and so kind. But then as we were growing up, she just became the absolute life of the party completely. Like she had so much fun, she completely lived life to the fullest. She said yes to everything and did everything that she wanted to do, and it was brilliant. She was a pleasure to be around, absolutely. And also on like a deeper side, she was just there. Like she was always there no matter what. She was just a constant in all of our lives from growing up, as we all were a constant in each other's lives. And yeah, she was just brilliant. I honestly used to, like, couldn't believe my luck that we were even best friends because we were so different. But somehow it just worked and I was so incredibly lucky.
Yeah, teenage years can be bumpy. We all know that. How much did you share the ups and downs of what you were both going through? What was it like?
So much. I mean, when you're in a big group like that anyway, you kind of see every up and down of each other's lives. And I think that's why now we cherish it so much more, because everything that we've kind of been through, it's been together, like a roller coaster. I know that sounds so cheesy, but genuinely, that's what it feels like. And especially with me and Amelia, we told each other a lot. I mean, we were one of those friendships that like talked every day, like very intense best friendship. And I told her everything that was going on constantly all the time. We were all in the loop with each other's lives, and I'm very grateful that she was like my safe space to talk to in a way as well. And I think I was hers too, and we were lucky. Like that's something so special that like I'll never forget. And she almost like taught me how to talk like about things and like not be okay, and that's something I take now. And obviously I'm at uni, but I've needed to talk so much this past 2 years, and I have, completely and utterly I have, and I definitely owe it to her, to be completely honest.
And how pressured were your teen years? I think your teen years probably would have been very different to mine, and there's different pressures in, you know, nowadays. I wonder what it felt like, what caused pressure in yours and Amelia's life? What were the things you worried about?
I mean, again, we're very different. So I feel like for Amelia, my answer would be completely different to me. For her, and probably most of my friends, to be honest, I would say the up and coming of social media, the way it just came almost in, I guess, our 10 years sort of, and then like TikTok coming back, like things like that. And social media was like rife, and it still is a big part. But I feel like, especially now, we're a lot more educated on how false social media is and how deceiving it can be. So luckily, like, it does have less of an effect now. But growing up, it was literally everything. And I think, you know, you whatever happens at school or during the day, and you go home and you don't get that switch off button anymore at our age. The switch off button that, like, my mum talks about, you know, of coming home and that's it kind of thing. You don't get that. It's constant and it's all the time. And of course, social media can be an incredible thing, but also it can be a very, very dark place. And I'd say that was a massive pressure that we had. And comparing yourself to someone that isn't even real, like a version of someone that isn't real, it's like such a weird concept. And I'm really happy that I've grown up out of it, kind of thing. Like, I've grown into that and I've educated myself, or, you know, we all have, that this isn't real and it doesn't affect me anymore. But it definitely affected Amelia, and it definitely affects my friends, especially even at uni. I post all the time videos of me and my new friends having fun, you know, pictures. No one would have a clue what my 2 years have been like. Like, apart from obviously my close friends at home and here, no one would know. So I think social media is a massive, massive deal.
How much were you aware of Amelia's struggles, or when did you become aware that she was struggling with life?
I became aware quite early, actually. So she went to uni, and then she'd already dropped out, and that was in 2022. And then she came home, and I was on a gap year at the time at home, along with a couple of my other friends. Or not, they weren't on gap years, but they were either doing another year of school or one of them was travelling. So we were all kind of at home, and she came back. And I think when she first dropped out of uni, I was very surprised, actually, because she definitely was someone that always talked about uni. I wasn't even fussed, like, genuinely, I wasn't fussed if I wanted to go or not. I'd never really thought about it until I did. Like, I kind of ended up here, but she was one of those people that always, it was important to her. And I think when she dropped out, and I was very surprised by it, and I think she found it hard because, again, as I say, there's 8 of us, so it's constantly comparing yourself without realising, and there's no pressure in our group. Like, it's genuinely the most incredible friendships ever. But some of the other girls went and were having such a good time at uni, and Amelia just kind of wasn't. And I think that's why she came home, took the time that she needed. And then I became aware of it then, and I was on my gap year. And we talked a lot. We did a lot that year and spent a lot of time together, which I'm so, so grateful for now. I really am. And she told me then how she was feeling, but there just was this hope that time. And she did, like, in my eyes, she became Amelia again. Like, I kind of saw her go a bit and then sort of come back. And I thought, well, this, you know, this is it. She got, you know, she took the space she needed. She got the help that she needed, and she became Amelia again. And then we went on holiday in 2023, September, to Tenerife, which is our third girls' holiday. And we all went. It was me, Daisy, Alicia, Coco, Annie, Amelie, Mia, Emily, Josie, like, our whole group there. And went on this holiday. And I think the thought of her returning to uni, like, about a month later, just kind of changed something in her. And I suddenly saw that old Amelia again that dropped out before. Like, and we were obviously apprehensive about it, but we talked and talked and talked, and I thought I knew everything, to be honest. Like, I thought I knew all there was to know. I couldn't have checked in any more on her. Like, I find such a comfort in that, because I really, really know that I could not have. But I guess you really just never know. But I'd say I knew what I thought was almost enough. Like, I knew she was struggling, and I did what I can. But I think sometimes people can be quite poorly, and I don't feel like I could have done anything else that I could have done to make her feel any different to the way she felt.
Was she able to share with you what was at the heart of her her worries or her stresses? I mean, that transition, I think, between school life and university life and then moving often away from home, it's a really big one. I remember it incredibly well. And it is a point of all kinds of things happening in your life and in your head. I wonder if you had any sense of what it was about that Amelia found so difficult. If it was that she was finding difficult.
Honestly, I guess I'll never know. Like, I can't even sit here and say this is her story because it's not, it's mine. Do you know what I mean? It's what I knew. So I guess I can never say for sure. But also from my own or everyone's experience, moving from school to uni is massive. And again, you just kind of get thrown out and you live by yourself and you've got these strangers, and it depends where, like, which uni you go to. Like, I'm quite far away from home. Some of my friends are a little bit closer to home. Obviously, it's preference. And you just get thrown into this whole new world. Almost like, it sounds silly because we're 19 when we go, but like, it feels like the adult world, you kind of get put into it straight away with, you know, not your parents, not anyone that you're familiar with, and you just kind of do it. And that can be massive. And for a lot of people I know, going to uni is one of the hardest things. It's the best thing I've ever done, but it's also one of the hardest things I've ever done, without a doubt, because it is just this whole new world. And I think that transition, along with feelings that she already had, it's really hard to begin to build a new life when you're struggling so much in your head. And I think that's what it was. I think she spent a lot of time in her room and things, and she wasn't going out. And at uni, the going out culture is intense. It's so crucial to making friends, to be honest. And I'm very grateful that, you know, here I was able to do that. But I know for sure, and I know from how I felt, obviously, after Amelia died, building this new life when you're feeling like that is really hard when you're in such an unfamiliar place. It's, yeah, insane.
And I guess it's one of those situations that comes with so many expectations about what it's going to be like and how you are going to measure up and how you are going to perform. And then if you feel that you're not meeting with maybe those expectations in your head for what it was going to be like, that creates can create a real tension. Really, really difficult. If you're able to talk about it, tell me what happened when Amelia returned to university after that great holiday in Tenerife.
Yeah, so we came back from the holiday about a month before all of our unis kind of started, and it was a brilliant holiday, by the way. Our girls' holidays were memories that we will forever cherish, and I'm so grateful that I have them because we talk about it all of the time. Anyway, so we came back, had about a month. We were all kind of in different places. Some of my friends were in second year. I was starting uni for the first time because I had a gap year. So a few of my other friends all separating out into different places, which we're not used to. We're literally from a small town. Like, that's all we've ever known. And then we suddenly get splattered around and we're like, oh, you know, you just get thrown out. And I think the feelings were there before for her because she was going to the same uni again, different course, but sort of trying again in her head. But she tried anyway. She went, and she must have been there 3 weeks, which obviously at uni you have obviously freshers week, which is a week, and it's just literally going out. That's all you do. And then the other 2 weeks, you don't even really start lectures yet. She did go to some, so she must have started them after maybe 2 weeks. She went to some and just really struggled, and I actually spoke to her a lot, and she did it very differently to when she was struggling the first time. This time it felt so private to her how she was feeling. It really was. And I called her every day. We used to call every evening. Like, obviously I was at uni too, but we used to call every day. And she just simply told less people about how she felt. And I think because this was in her head, this was her second time, and the rest of our group pretty much had gone to uni and had an amazing time, and she just couldn't get there, and she just didn't know why. And I think she felt like she'd failed in a way. And I always say this, I always say, like, you're not defined by your degree. And I literally believe it. I speak into existence even here, because I just don't believe that. Uni is not for everyone, or different times can be wrong. I came a year later, thank God. Like, times can be such, play such a part. And I think she just really struggled. And she did a few weeks at uni, and she didn't, she made friendships, but I think she didn't find her people that she expected to find. And you don't, you don't find that straight away at all. That's not, sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. Like, that's, you don't need to be best friends with everyone that you meet, but I think she just felt like it was her, like she was doing something wrong or something different, or she couldn't achieve something that she felt we were all achieving. And it just upset her terribly, and she already was struggling anyway to deal with this by yourself, and just trying to keep going, trying to go to her lectures, you know, not going home. And she was just really trying to do this, and I was just like, it's just not important. It's just not, like, it feels like your whole world, I get it, but it's just not. I've asked her many times to drop out, but she was completely like, I am doing this. I was like, fair enough, you know. And she gave it everything, no matter how she felt any of the time, she gave it absolutely everything. But yeah, ultimately she just was too poorly, and she just couldn't kind of partake in the university experience that she'd always dreamed of, I think. And that just completely upset her. It confused her, actually, I'd say, more than upset, really confused her.
So did she return home? What happened?
Yep, so she returned home, and I spoke, so the last time I spoke to her, well, like on the phone, like heard her voice, was 2 days before, and she was at uni, but she was going home that day. So I spoke to her then, we spoke on FaceTime, just normal, like, chatting. We did talk about feelings and life, really. We did have a really good chat, which I'll never forget, yeah. But she came home, and then a few days later, I was at uni, and we hadn't heard from her for a bit. And then my mum actually called me, and she told me, she said, she's gone. And I knew, I'd already been speaking to my mum, I'd already arranged to go home. I was like, Amelia's struggling, so I want, you know, pick me up, I'll go home and talk to her. And mum was like, yeah, let me sort this out, whatever. She's brilliant. And then she was supposed to just come and get me anyway, and then she called me and told me that instead. And of course she came to get me straight away.
Seems ridiculous, I think, to say, how did you feel, but how did that hit you, Charlotte?
You know, it's actually a feeling I've not felt since. Like, when I think about it, my body can like replay it. It's really weird, because I think I've been through grief before, but nothing could have prepared me for this, not one thing. And that moment feels so physical, like my whole body was actually, I felt like I was dying. You feel it in everything. And I think half of it's disbelief that this could possibly be true, and then half of it is just, oh my God. And I actually felt like my world had ended. I couldn't, in that second, I could not see how I could ever be okay again, because that was my best friend. How could this possibly happen? And I remember my mum, so she called me and she told me, and I was sat on my uni bed, and then, so annoyingly, the signal went. So the call just went after she told me the call went. And I remember just sitting there in my new uni room. Bearing in mind, I'm 2 weeks into uni at this point, not even a month yet either. And I just remember being like, what do I do now? And I literally just broke down, and I literally couldn't even breathe. I felt like my heart was stopping, because I think something that's not supposed to happen had just happened, and I couldn't even begin to process it. And I don't think I processed it for a long time, but in that exact moment, it's all I remember is just the physical, like, everything all over, and my heart just completely aching. And yeah, and then I knew that I had this whole group of friends that I now needed to talk to and tell. And that was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, just kind of trying to pull it together, but not. And I'm very grateful I was at uni, and I went into my favourite uni friend's room, and she was brilliant, so I wasn't by myself. And then my mum called me back, so I wasn't by myself. But whilst my mum had, like, lost the signal with me, she'd called two of my other friends, because, as I say, we're growing up together, so our mums are, like, so close with us all. She'd called two of the other girls to tell them, and then I knew that I was going to have to tell someone. And I remember sitting on the floor, and one of my other best friends, Amelie, and she's actually the person who originally said, "Has anyone heard from Amelia?" And she called me, obviously wanting to hear if there was any news. And I remember just staring at the green and the red of the call. And I knew that I had to press green. I knew that by pressing green, I was about to destroy her world. And I love her just as much as I love Amelia. So I knew what I was about to do. Of course I did it. I spoke to her and I told her. And that day just feels not real. And I remember my mum picking me up from uni, and I just slept in the car because I literally couldn't even be awake. I was like, the pain was like too much, and I couldn't even be awake, and I just slept all the way home. So I'm in Brighton, so it's about 2.5 hour drive. And I just slept all the way home, and I got back and we all just came together. I wasn't ready to go home yet because I had so many memories with her. And that day was just a blur. And honestly, the next 2-3 weeks were like a complete blur. I don't know how we got through that, but we did.
If you're listening to this and Charlotte's story is striking a chord and you need someone to talk to, you can text Mikey's line on 07786 20 77 55, or you can contact them via Messenger, web chat and WhatsApp. The number for WhatsApp is 01463 729 000, and all those details and links are in the show notes. Charlotte, how have you gone about processing this? I was going to say coming to terms with it, but I'm not sure that that's necessarily the right phrase even for this. How have you gone about the period of time since you lost Amelia?
Honestly, I don't even know if I have processed it. I don't really know where I'm at any of the time. But I started off and we were all together. And I think actually being with a group of people who'd lost the same person and feeling the same things in a way really, really helped. I could not have done that without them. And we all held each other up in those first few weeks. And I think it kind of validates how you feel. You don't feel crazy. Like, the heartbreak is very, very real and it's very raw, and you're in this room of all of you and you can just talk openly about how you feel. And from the absolute start, we were all so open about how we were feeling, and we've carried this on. It's been 2 years, and to this day, I can call any of them at any minute and tell them honestly how I'm feeling, and I'm so grateful for that. And the same for all of us. And I think that's so important.
Do you think you share more now than you would have been prepared to share before this happened?
It completely changes your perspective on life in so many ways. And all of us, without a doubt, have learned how important it is to talk, and we do all of the time, about how we feel. And I think we kind of learned that it's not just only talking when you're in a moment of crisis or on the edge. It's actually just talking every day about how you feel, whether it's good, whether it's bad, having those deeper conversations on the good days as well, all of the time, and not just waiting for that moment to speak up. It's the constant of speaking about how you feel, no matter how confusing it is. Sometimes I can't even word it, and that's okay, all of the time. And the same with, like, talking to my mum as well, like, you know, about how I feel, so open at uni, because I knew that if I did this alone, I don't know if I'd be able to. Like, I needed to speak about how I felt. And I think that's so incredibly important in so many ways. It really is.
One thing I've observed in the past can sometimes happen when something deeply, profoundly shocking, like losing Amelia out of the blue, happens. there can almost be a heightened sense of the fragility of life, of the vulnerability of life, because this is not what you were expecting to happen, and it completely blindsides you. And I wondered whether one impact of losing Amelia has been a heightened worrying about the other people that you care very deeply about in your life and in your friendship group. Do you worry about them potentially doing something similar? How is that playing out for you?
Honestly, without a doubt, you worry. And especially, I think at our age, and we're in this group and friends feel like forever, and something happens and forever's not forever anymore, you realise, hang on, time isn't just a given. We haven't got this time. You know, we're talking about our weddings and our graduations, and suddenly in a second you realise that time just is so precious and life is short. And it sounds so cheesy, and I would never think I'd even have that mindset until it happened, and I'm like, oh my god, like, you could lose anyone at any time. And of course you think you're going to be friends, you know, you say forever, and of course we'll be friends forever, but she's not here anymore, and you never think it's going to happen to you. It's just someone far away, or a stranger on the news that you hear about, or someone listening to me now and I'm a stranger. That was me at a different point. That was me. And I never thought I'd lose someone to suicide until I did, and suddenly become so much more aware. And then we're all plunged into these new feelings that we don't know how to process. And I've got many stories of us worrying about each other, but it's very real. And actually, not even just each other, like, I have it with my mum, or like anyone, uni friends. Like, suddenly life seems so fragile, as you said, and it's scary. Like, the fear of losing everybody is real. And especially, as you say, going through these feelings that are so confusing, there's 100% was a worry that, you know, we were all feeling similar. We all knew how hard it was. We all knew that the hope just wasn't quite there yet. And we all did just genuinely, I say, pull each other through it in the most literal sense, drag each other through this to be to where we are now. And of course, those feelings never go. They still will be there, but there's a lot more hope further along when you try and you learn to understand your own feelings, and you finally get that hope. And there's no big revelation, there's no big turning point. You just kind of accidentally keep going. I think people talk about grieving with courage and stuff, and I'm like, just kind of accidentally did every day, one day at a time, until I got here. And yeah, I think that's what's important, that we finally did get here. And, you know, the turning point was a laugh I didn't expect, or a dance that I liked. And then I was like, wait, maybe I do just want to wait and see what tomorrow brings. And that hope takes a while to get there, and it is hard, but we literally were there for each other. And I think living in the ripple effect of suicide just was enough to make sure that, like, that wasn't an option. Do you know what I mean? Because we've just seen how this has destroyed so many families and friends, and ripple through our community. As I say, from a small town, it really did. And I think living in that very real aftermath of this one decision completely was my reason anyway.
Has it changed how you view the pressures that are around you all, both from the point of view of the university pressures, but also those social media pressures that we talked about?
Yeah, I'd say it has. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not even massively vulnerable to social media pressures. Like, I'm actually a type of person that just doesn't care about anything. Like, I don't. I just do my own thing and that's it. You know, I don't actually care. But I think after this, as I said already, you get the perspective on life, and suddenly you realise what's important and what just isn't, and the type of things we talk about actually quite openly, the type of things we used to sit and like cry about, and now it's like, I can't even imagine that. Or people will talk to us about this stuff and we're just like, oh my god, who has time for that? Like, it's just, everything seems so, I don't know, yeah, you just put it into perspective and you realise what's really important and what just isn't. So I feel like things like social media, and say, as I use as an example, like how uni is perceived on social media as being this fun thing, I couldn't care less. Like, I'm absolutely the most incredible time at uni and no one cares. I know this isn't real. Do you know what I mean? The same with my friends. And I think the pressures of deadlines are real, but I don't know if that's more just because I'm progressing through uni. And after Amelia first died, I didn't care. I missed plenty of deadlines. Like, I literally got through first year from my uni being incredible with support. That's purely it. So I think stuff like that doesn't matter. And then you kind of realise that it does matter after. But in terms of social pressures, we literally just don't, you know, we've got each other, we do what we want, we're happy. There's no space for anything else because life is short and we're trying to build our futures and do what we can. And yeah, just don't have time for it.
And what do you miss most about Amelia?
It's always weird when you get asked that question because I'm like, what do I say? And I always end up saying something small rather than the big things I probably should say. And I miss everything about her every single day. But it's actually the little things. And I still, to this day, I message her goodnight, which we did every day before. And I have never stopped. And it's been 2 years. And there's not one day that I've missed that goodnight, I love you message. I still do it. And it brings me a comfort. Like, she's still part of my routine in my day. And of course I think about her all day, but it's nice to have those few minutes in the evening every single day. And sometimes I'll write a bit more if there's something else that I want to say to her. And I still text her and I can't see myself even stopping. And I think that's what I miss. I think her just being there. And actually more recently, I've kind of started grieving the life she should have now too. Like, not just me losing her, which I obviously spent so long with every single thing that I missed all the time. Every day there'd be so many things. And I'm like, I miss that, I miss that. And that's the hardest part, is just completely miss her. You know, talking to her, seeing her name pop up on my phone, like tiny things like that. The memories together with all of us. And especially now someone's missing when we all do something. It's very real and it's very raw. But recently I've started grieving where she should be now. Like, she should be in second year too, the same as me. And every like fun thing that I do, or like moving into my uni house with my best friends, like, it's so brilliant. And I just wish she was here to do that too. Like, she should have got that opportunity. So I've actually changed recently to, I think I've got used to, like, you know, her name's not going to pop up on my phone anymore and it's never going to be okay and I'm never going to accept it, but I get used to it. I don't expect it anymore. And I think that's probably part of me texting her that probably really helps to take away that, because then she's still part of my routine. And I write a letter to her. Like, I literally, since she died, I've written a letter. I think it's like 40 pages now. Like, it's massive, on my laptop. And I just sit and I type to her and I just tell her everything. And I've got this whole account of 2 years of my life, everything that's happened, because I just come and I type it all to her. And, you know, I'll cherish things like that, that I wish I could tell her. But also, yeah, just her, she should be here now, you know, and she should be in second year of uni or not, whatever she ended up deciding to do. And she should be laughing and she should be turning 21 with us. Like, half of us have turned 21 now and Amelia should have too. And that's really hard, to outgrow somebody like that is really weird. So yeah, but I miss absolutely everything about her. I'm so lucky that I had her, and I will miss her every single day, as we all will, absolutely. But we talk about her and that keeps her memory alive, and that's all we can do. And one of my friends actually said in her funeral speech to Amelia, Annie, she said, I hope one day when we talk about her, our tears will turn to smiles, something like that. And it's very true now. We never thought we'd get to that point. And just by talking about her as much as we can, and we do all the time, it keeps her memory alive.
Well, Charlotte, it's been a real privilege hearing you talk about Amelia, getting to hear a bit about her and your story and your attitude to life. You got in touch with me because you wanted yours and Amelia's story to be making a difference. I wondered if there's just anything else you wanted to say before we wrap it up.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to mention Amelia's family.
They've been so generous and kind to us. Although they are grieving so much, they made space for us to grieve in that, and that is something truly special. So, to Becky and Mark and Oscar and Harriet, thank you. We are so grateful for everything. And also to each other. To Mia, to Coco, to Alicia, to Amelie, to Daisy, to Emily, to Annie, to Josie. We've all held each other up in our hardest times, even when it felt impossible. Also to our parents as well. My mum has been my absolute rock, and she's the reason I'm able to sit here today and speak about this. Also to our uni friends, who show us so much compassion despite having never met Amelia, and we will forever be grateful for their support. And to Amelia, thank you for being the best friend we've ever had. We will always love you, and we are trying to live in a way that you'd be proud of.
Charlotte, thank you. I was talking to Charlotte Miller. Now here's Shona from Mikey's Line with a few thoughts to take away from my conversation with Charlotte.
Lovely to hear Charlotte's voice, and a voice of a young woman just turning 21, and yet with a wisdom that seems so far beyond her years, a wisdom and a knowing that's been hard won through such painful experience. Two things to pull out. One is, I'm so struck by the way that Charlotte spoke of the embodied, the visceral shock that she felt when she got the news of Amelia's death. She spoke that these were feelings that she'd never experienced before or since. Just to quote her, my heart was stopping, I couldn't breathe, I felt like I was dying, I couldn't see that it would ever be okay. This can happen to us when something is so fast and shocking, news that's too painful to bear, that our body does have a kind of wisdom in coming in so strongly and kind of shutting us down. And she spoke about, just even in that car journey, needing to withdraw, and she fell asleep. Kind of her body just knew, this is too much, I can't deal with this. And then over the weeks, the days, the weeks, the months, the years, her mind and body slowly processing and her perspective slowly growing. But really just getting that wisdom that withdrawal and sleep are necessary in those early days and weeks and maybe months of us receiving the news of the death of a loved one, especially maybe when they've died by suicide. And then secondly, how after the tragic loss of Amelia, Charlotte and her friendship group got each other through by talking and sharing their grief journey, and how that made a massive difference, that they weren't alone with it. And this is a massive generalisation, so forgive me, but I have experienced that young people can, I think, teach those of us in the generations that have gone before them so much about being open and honest in their feelings, an ability just to be, this is how it is for me, how is it for you? And they can just say anything to each other, and they can hold each other in their different truths. Just how refreshing to hear that. Such a lesson to all of us, that we can be okay with just sharing whatever it is, even if that might be shocking to each other, we can just allow that openness and honesty. So massive gratitude to Charlotte for sharing that. And I hope we can all take something from that. And we don't have to be alone and sort of secretive, even if something might, we think it might offend somebody. I think we can trust our friends that we won't offend them by saying how we're doing. So yeah, thank you to her for that.
Shona McPherson. Don't forget, if you need someone to talk to or some help, then you can text Mikey's Line on 07786 20 77 55. Or contact them via Messenger, web chat and WhatsApp. The number for WhatsApp again is 01463 729 000. If you're in the Highlands, you can go and visit them. They are at The Hive, 4 Struthers Lane, Inverness. They're open 7 days a week from 6pm to 10pm. And all those details and links are in the show notes. Speaking of suicide, it's funded by Mikey's Line. And the platform is sponsored by Highland-based family firm D&D Paving Limited. If you'd like to share your story or sponsor an episode or series, do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of Suicide, it's produced by Adventurous Audio Limited.